You know you have to launch your products, but you don't know where to start or what is actually involved in a launch. When do you start talking about your product? How do you build anticipation? What can you do to get people to actually hit that buy button on your course, membership, or other offer? Today, we have Taylor Slango joining us on the Passive Project Podcast. Taylor is a mindset and business coach who has run incredible launches for herself and her clients. She is dishing on how she did a 10K launch in her second month of business, the five phases you need to understand in order to have a successful launch, how often you should be launching, and why having a sales mindset is so critically important to your success. Tune in to this juicy episode and get ready to walk away with complete clarity on how to tackle your next product launch. You're listening to the Passive Project Podcast, where we talk about how to build your online business to make more income, more impact, and give you more freedom in your life. I'm Gemma Bonham Carter, business strategist, mom of two, lover of passive income, automation, and coffee. Welcome to the podcast. Yay, guys, we are here with the Taylor Slango. I am so excited. Welcome, Taylor, to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Taylor, for people who don't know you, can you just quickly introduce yourself and your business?
Yeah, so my name is Taylor Slango. I am a holistic business mentor, and I help ambitious, aligned women grow their businesses, sell out their offers in a way that feels good, and they can have more fun and make more money.
Amazing. I love that. That was a really good elevator pitch.
Thanks.
So Taylor, you and I met a little while ago, probably, I don't know, a year and a half or so ago, in a bit of a different capacity. Can you just like let folks know kind of the backstory of how your business came to be? Because I think it's a great story and it's like inspiring for a lot of people who want to sort of dive into online entrepreneurship.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll go back to even before I met you, Gemma, because like I think that piece of the story is extremely important. But I was at my rock bottom, and I know that looks so different for everyone, but I was about to get married, about to move into my first house. I was leaving a 9-to-5 because I was like, I hate this and I will never make it work. So let me just get out now. And luckily at the time I had a super supportive circle where, you know, they're like, yeah, you're getting married and yeah, you're buying a house, but yeah, quit your job if that's what you want to do. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I did that. And then I was like, I gotta make some money because like, you know, adulting and stuff. So I started to work at a gym. And if you know me personally, like that was just like the most random. You'll never, I had like the headset on and I was like, I don't even work out myself, but I'm like, you're, you know, showing you guys how to work out. But I was like, just trying to make some money. And then there was like drama there where they were like, oh, you know, you're going to go full time and you can open your own franchise. And I was like, oh great. You know? And then I was getting like 8 or 9 hours a week for like 4 months. And I had dug myself like into a more financial mess than I even was before. So that was kind of a turning point for me where I was like, okay, nobody gets this much control over my life and my finances again. And I'm just the person who gives 110%, and like, I'm going to give that to myself and I'm making the decisions. So I started to get really clear about what I wanted my career to look like. And at that point, like entrepreneurship wasn't even on the table. I was like, I want to work from home and I don't want to make $20 an hour anymore. I'm so smart. And I just didn't know what that was going to look like. So in natural like Taylor fashion, going back to just like giggling at the gym thing, I whipped up a resume and I put out like skills that I didn't have, but you know, could teach myself and make it work. And I landed a amazing opportunity with a digital marketing agency, which is where I ended up meeting you, Gemma, just so you guys know for context. And I learned the ins and outs of online businesses, online funnels, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, influencer marketing. Like it was the most epic opportunity that really catapulted me to where I am now. So I learned the ropes. I had my hands in a lot of launches. And then I was like, you know, I can do this for myself. Let me just try to do it for myself and see what happens. So I started my business in August of 2018. I had my first launch ever in October of 2018. So 1 year from right now, or 1 year ago. Yeah. And I came out of the gate, like a 10K launch. And I was just like, this is a thing. And that's really how I got started.
Yeah. Such an incredible experience that you had in that like service industry that would allow you, it's almost like, you know, taking 20 courses on overdrive for a year before you actually go to launch your business, right? I think a lot of people like launch their business and then learn the things as they're going, but you just had such an incredible learning opportunity there before you even launched. And then what I think is really great is, you know, you were able to slowly scale back that part of your, you know, of your, the service delivery and amp up your own business. And so you were able to do it in a way that felt sort of comfortable for you, like, especially from a financial perspective. I'm sure like, you know, as we get older, the idea of like just quitting your job is like more and more scary, right? Like in, when you're really in your like early 20s, you're like, ah, whatever, it doesn't matter. But like once you have like a mortgage and things going on, like you have responsibilities, right? Yeah. So that kind of transition for you seemed to work really well.
Yeah. And it was definitely scary. Like it was the biggest salary I've ever made. I was 23, you know, making like almost 100 grand a year, like doing well, sitting comfortable. And 8 months into my business, I was like, it's time to let go.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, okay, let's dive into one of your key specialties, which I know that a lot of our listeners will love to hear more about. And so you are great at launching, as like we, as evidenced by the fact that you did a 10K launch in like your second month of business.
Yeah.
So let's just, I have a couple of like key questions, but obviously like go on any tangent you want. But I know you work a lot with clients like in small groups and in one-on-one capacities. How do you coach them on knowing kind of what offers to launch and maybe when?
I think like the first thing I talk to my clients about is breaking down the myths and beliefs when it comes to launching. And the biggest like misconception I see out there is like, I need a big following. I need the swipe up feature. Like so-and-so launched a membership and did 20K. So if I launch a membership, I have to do 20K too. Just like following the trends and the buzzwords and the vanity metrics. So when I'm getting started with my clients and we're planning their launch, the first thing I want to know is like, what do you love to do? Like, what are you good at? What brings you joy? Because I can't tell you how many times I've tried to like piece together an offer on a whim and my heart wasn't in it. And it just kind of like, you know, drifts off into the dust somewhere.
Totally.
So I say, you know, start with like what really feels good for you and look at the kind of container that you want to have. And that really goes back to what kind of lifestyle you want your business to bring to you. So if you are like one of those digital nomad people and you want to travel all the time, it's not going to be in your best interest to launch your one-on-one package and fill your roster with 20 clients, because that's going to take away the lifestyle that you are building your business for. And a lot of people don't see that because they're not really looking at the long game. They're looking at like quick growth and how can I make money? And again, like maybe someone else is doing it, but that doesn't mean that you should do it too.
Couldn't agree with you more. And we talk about that a lot when talking about like what kind of digital product people should be launching. And, you know, for my listeners, like they know I'm a mom of two kids, like this, those kinds of questions play into my decision-making around my business in a really big way, because I can't be like on calls 24/7. And I have a very like specific number of hours in the day that I can work. And so I need to design a business that allows me to have that kind of like lifestyle and freedom. So I love that that's where you start with your clients, so that they're really starting with their own, yeah, like lifestyle in mind, and that they're setting the right goals for them, not the goal that like somebody else set for themselves and wants to achieve. That doesn't mean that's what you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. So I definitely say start there. Like ask yourself, why am I even getting into business? Like, is it to spend more time with your kids or more time with your dogs or to retire your parents? Or like, do you love the connection? Do you want in-person events one day? Like you really have to ask yourself, what is my long-term vision? And I say this loosely because like allow it to evolve. Some people like, you know, see a vision and then they lock themselves into it and I'm going to do all of these things. And it's like, no, you don't have to have it all figured out, but you should have that like umbrella of what you do want to work towards and take action on that now.
Yes. And knowing that you can pivot at any time, right?
Oh, like anytime.
Anytime. And things can evolve and change and grow with you. Like I have had that happen to me a ton in my own like experience in online entrepreneurship. So can you talk through just at a high level, your kind of overall launch strategy that you give, like that you take your clients through?
Yeah. So I have created something called the five phases of launching. And I like, this is so near and dear to me in the baseline of what I teach because most entrepreneurs skip like 3 out of 5 of these phases. And then, you know, they show up and nothing happens. And then they're like curious why. So I start launch planning always at least 6 weeks out. And, you know, a lot of people I think are like, I'm excited to launch. I'm excited about this offer. I'm totally guilty of that. Just being so passionate and wanting to get it out into the world and just kind of go off the cuff. But the reality is if you are planning a serious launch and one that you want to be both impactful and profitable, you have to pre-plan for that. And it starts with something I call the tease phase. So this is 6 weeks before your cart even opens. And at this point, you're not even sharing your offer. Like you are literally just dangling the carrot because humans are curious. So when you can pique their curiosity, like watch out, they're going to be following you. They're going to be stalking you. And all you have to do is dangle that carrot. So what this would look like in a launch is maybe a boomerang on your Instagram story of your laptop and you kind of blur out what you're working on, but you say something is coming. Or you jump on a Facebook Live and say, if you have been struggling with launching, you are going to want to turn your notifications on the next couple weeks because I have something epic coming for you, whatever that looks like. But now you've piqued curiosity and people are like, oh, well, what's coming? You know, let me make sure to open her emails or watch her Insta stories. And people are just more hyper aware of you and your brand and what's going on before you get into literally any of the meat of the launch. And this is the part that most people skip. And that's kind of like subconsciously priming them for what's to come without them even realizing it.
And this is like also why it's so important to map out your calendar so far in advance, like definitely at least for the quarter, if not further along, because you need to know those things. Like what carrot should you be dangling and when?
Right. It's so funny. So from that point, you go into what I call the hype period. And this is where you actually do announce what's coming. So the tease phase, I say lasts for like a week. You don't want to like tease them for a month. Like they're going to be like, who literally gives a shit? But the hype phase is getting them excited. So this is where you're transitioning from curiosity to excitement. And I always recommend having some sort of wait list for a launch. That just has always worked for me. It's where you collect email addresses, you open the cart early, you do a pre-sale, you give some sort of incentive. And I love doing a wait list. So during the hype phase, I'm building the wait list and I'm telling people, this is what's launching. This is what you're going to get from it. Go join the wait list. You're going to get a huge discount, yada, 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 yada. And you're building the excitement again before you're going into selling anything. And I always have a really, really great result with the wait list.
And I think one thing that people get nervous about is they're like, if I could just keep talking about this, like, isn't it boring for people to keep talking about the same thing? Join the wait list, join the wait list. But the thing is, people aren't seeing everything you're doing, right? Like if you're sending out an email about it or putting it up on Instagram stories repeatedly for like that week or whatever it might be, that's fine, right? Like people who've seen it before, they're just going to scroll on over to the next thing, right? But you need to be showing up consistently enough so that people actually see it. You can't just do one IG story and expect that to be it, right?
Oh my God. I struggled with this so much and I think it's such a mindset thing. And I would get on a call with my coach and I'd be like, my launch isn't going well. And she would pull up my social media on our call and put me on blast and be like, Where am I even going to know that you're launching? And there's a statistic that says like literally only 7% of your followers see all of your content.
Exactly.
So if you aren't posting repeatedly and putting it in their face, like you are leaving 93% of your audience uneducated and uninvolved. And that's why you're not selling.
Yes. Totally. Okay. So we've gone through tease and hype, and what's next?
So then you go into what I call the event. So your event is your webinar or your challenge or whatever you're funneling people into to build the awareness of your launch. And what's happening in the back end during this phase is you're pre-selling to the waitlist. So normally the waitlist is open, while on the front end, you aren't promoting the waitlist, but you are promoting your event. And this is where you just focus on that. So you're not really talking about your offer, but you're more so educating them on like why you can help them, why you're the expert, why they should listen to you, getting their information and nurturing them through that event phase, which leads into the education phase. And the education phase happens during the event. So right. Your focus during this is to really show them like, this is point A, this is where you are, these are your struggles, and then this is point B, your paradise, where you want to go, and my offer is the vehicle to get you from point A to point B. And I want to talk about the events in general, because what I see happening so often and what I used to do too is like, people give away so much information for free, and they think that if they just like, you know, pull out all their bells and whistles and best tips and strategies, people are going to close to a sale. But the opposite happens, because then you leave them with so much information and they're like, oh, this is great. I have enough to get started. I don't need your program. I'll catch up with you next time. So I think it's really important that for your event, don't focus on teaching as much as like focusing on shifting your audience's belief system. 100%. So when I was launching my launch course, a lot of the things that I was talking about during my 4-day challenge was like, you don't need a big social media following to have a 10K launch. You don't need fancy softwares to have a 10K launch. You don't have to launch a group program or a membership or a insert offer here to have a 10K launch. So I wasn't, you know, I wasn't teaching them my launch framework, but I was helping them believe that they could have these results without these other things that they thought was holding them back.
100%. And it's also like, I talk about this too with my members. It's about showing them like the what and not necessarily the how. So yeah. You're really like increasing the desire for your audience to want the thing that like to want that transformation. And in your case, in your example there, you're really showing them why launches matter, right? Like yeah. You're painting yeah. the picture of why launches are so important, and the how of how to launch. Well, that comes behind closed doors, right?
Right.
So exactly. Yeah, no, I love that. Okay. So we've gone through the event, and then how are we closing this out here?
So we started with the tease, we go to the hype, we go into the event, in the education. And then the last part is the sale. And if you are doing the 5 phases of launching, by the time you get to selling, if you had any sort of like, you know, weird feelings or discomfort when it comes to selling, if you follow this process, it should remove that. Like, you have earned your badge to sell. You've done the curiosity. You've gave them excitement. You've delivered value. Like, you've went on this essentially 6-week journey. Ask for the damn sale, like yeah. unapologetically at this point.
Yes, totally agree. And you talk a little bit in, like, I've seen you mention this idea of like a sales mindset. Can you just speak to that a little bit, like as in terms of like what that means?
Yeah, I think, and I don't know why, because it's so outdated, like so mind-blowingly outdated to associate sales with like cold calling or car dealership. Like, we are really not in that time anymore, yeah. but we are mentally. So I think a lot of people look at sales like, this is uncomfortable, it's slimy, I'm ripping people off, I'm really not being of service. And I think that has so much to do with your confidence in yourself. Like, do you believe that you can facilitate that transformation? Do you believe that your product is worth the price that you're asking for it? Because I think the thing to really realize is like, helping people for free is great. Like, we all talk about value-based marketing. It is the way to market in 2019 and 2020. But if you give everything away for free, you're not a business. You're just a volunteer. So yeah. I think it's important to highlight that and really reframe this way of sales of like, if you aren't selling, you aren't serving. Like, if you are not making sales, you don't have a business. If you are not constantly promoting your offers, you are doing a disservice to your audience, because they can only learn so much through free content. And beyond that, people only show up to a certain degree for free shit. Like once people put their hard earned money on the line, they don't miss a training. They don't miss a coaching call. They don't like bypass through a post. They are 100% committed. And that's really what gets them the results.
Yeah. And you want them getting results because the more they get the results, the easier it is to sell your damn thing, right?
Yeah.
Like you need those case studies and testimonials. And like, that is what sell a product, like are getting those results. So no, I love that. Can you, speak to just for, if we back up just for a second, about the education or event and education piece. In your experience with your clients, do you tend to always recommend going the webinar route, or is it what really fits them in their business? Like, do you also do video series or challenges? Have you noticed a difference in terms of performance?
I'm bias. I think I love a 4-day challenge or a 3-day challenge. Like that has been the launch model that I followed since day one. I've done pop-up webinars. I've sold off webinars. For me, I always am like, you know, with a webinar, you kind of have one shot. You have one shot to like show up 100%, do a good job and close them. Where for me, I always felt like if I could hang out with these people for 5 days, like over those 5 days, I could warm them up and nurture them and convert them. But I'm glad that you asked this question because I'm realizing as I'm serving now a higher level client and I'm starting to survey them and ask them what kind of content they consume, because I'm realizing I like to host challenges, but I'm not signing up for them anymore. So I'm surveying my audience and they're like, we love like a quick 45 minute, an hour training. So I will probably be shifting into that and listen to them. But, you know, I don't think one performs better than another. I really don't. I think it's a belief. I think that it's just what you prefer, and ask your audience, like just straight up ask them how they like to consume content.
Totally. And I think it has to be in line with what you enjoy doing, because yeah, to your point earlier, like you need to be in alignment with what you're delivering. And I have certainly done that thing of being like, okay, well, so-and-so says I should be doing a launch this way, so let me go and like fill in the blanks and do it the way he or she says to do it. And it doesn't feel right for me. And the more, and like, it feels forced, right? And the more I have like let go of that stuff and really just stepped into like, what are the elements that work for me where I show up the best, that translates to your audience. So like, if doing a webinar isn't right for you and a 3-day challenge you're getting way more excited about, that's what you should be doing, because that's what you're going to show up for. And that's going to translate into the way your audience is feeling about it.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So, okay. The other thing that I heard you talk about before is like being in flow and alignment. So this is maybe like diverting a little bit from our original subject, but can you just talk a little bit about what that means?
Yeah. I don't even think it's diverting, because I think it like, it has to be talked about. And when I talk about flow and being in alignment and what those things mean, I want you guys to think about a board of Jenga. Like, have you ever played Jenga where you're like picking out the pieces and, you know, hoping for the best? I think that if you build your business without being in flow, which I will explain what that actually is in a second, but if you go into business without these concepts, you're playing Jenga with your business. So you might have some growth and you might have some success, but the taller you get, it becomes even more unstable and even more risky and even more uncertain and unpredictable and shaky. And it's like, who wants to build a company on such a shaky foundation? Yeah. So, you know, whether it's launching or sales or whatever, like I think being in alignment is really important. And what that means to me is that you are showing up and making decisions and taking action that align with both your beliefs and your vision. And those go hand in hand. So you have to actually have a belief system that supports the life that you want. So if you want to be working 20 hours and traveling and like, that's, you know, I think a picture people paint and it's the highlight reel, but it is totally possible. Like it is totally possible to achieve that. So if you want that, your beliefs have to be things like, the more fun I have, the more money I make, and everything I do makes me money, and, you know, like really concepts that support that vision. So that's like the first piece, and that's deep as is. Like that takes some thought and some awareness to really dig into, but living in alignment and being in flow is now going out into the world when you don't feel like showing up, when things get hard, when you're cranky or someone pisses you off, and living based on those beliefs. Like, you really believe the more fun you have, the more money you make, then you cannot be grinding 60 hours on your laptop and not having fun, because right. that's not in alignment with what you're supposed to believe to get to that vision.
Right. It's like kind of along the same lines of the like be, do, have thing of mm-hmm. like, you need to be the person in order to do the things and have like, and have the things instead of the other way around. So yeah, no, I love that. Okay. One last quick question about launching before I want you to tell people where they can find more information and stuff about you. But how often do you launch? And do you think that there is a too often or too infrequent? Like, what's the secret sauce, Taylor? Spill it.
Oh God, this is such a loaded question. I really like, I'm not going to tell you guys it's one way and you have to launch X amount. That's just like not my jam. I think it's very case by case, but I definitely like, I launch every month. Every month I'm launching something. And if you think about that five phases of launching, like by the time you're in the sale, you should be going back to the tease. So it's kind of like a cycle. So like right. by the time I'm wrapping up a launch, I'm starting to tease for what's coming next. And that's just what works for me. I don't like to do a lot in December because of the holidays. That's just preference. But like every 6 to 8 weeks, you will see something new from me, something maybe I've launched before, but I'm bringing it back. I've also seen business models that do like 3 enormous launches a year and don't do a whole lot in the in-between. I think that's a model for people who are investing a lot in paid marketing and paid ads and have a huge, huge following and can kind of like open the doors and sell out in a minute. And not all of us can do that in the beginning. So I think it's extremely important to be selling something at least every month. If you're like, oh my God, Taylor, you're crazy. Fine, every other month, but you do need to be constantly selling, because even if someone doesn't buy with the launch you're in, they're still spending time with you and gaining value. Maybe it's not what they need right now, but what you're launching next could very well be that thing for them.
Yeah. Or you're priming them to buy the next time around that you launch it.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. And do you vary the price points of your offers so that you're kind of launching different things all the time, so people can kind of buy in at different stages?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I want to talk about this for a second, because I think it's important when it comes to launching too. But I think like a big misconception out there, I think, is like you have one ideal client and they are the perfect person for all of your offers. But when I think about that logically, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like if I'm introducing someone to my membership and it is a lower ticket, lower commitment, lower level offer, they're going to have different struggles, different goals, different frustrations than someone who's ready to invest in my 10K private coaching package. So I don't believe that you just have one ideal client. I think you have this umbrella of people you want to serve, like entrepreneurs or female business owners or whatever, but I think it gets a little bit more narrow. And what I like to do, and what I recommend all of you guys listening to do to really maximize your profit, is rotate through the offers. Because if you are constantly launching, you know, a high level, high ticket, back to back to back, your high level audience is going to be like, I don't need you, leave me alone. You, like, it's overwhelming, it's overbearing. And then your lower level audience is going to be like, there's nothing for me here. So you have to make sure you're rotating through those offers. And what that does, it's like a win-win, because it creates a natural sales flow. Like, you go from low level to mid level, that's an upsell. You go from high level to low level, that's a downsell. And it makes so much sense.
Yeah. No, I really love that. And to your point, the other thing about launching, if you were to launch like high end, is it also gets confusing, because mm-hmm. which high end should they be purchasing? Which is the right fit for them? What problems are you really solving at a different capacity in those different programs? So I love that idea of having, whether it's a, we talk about this in the Passive Project membership, but whether you're building out like a product suite or an ascension model, they're kind of the two different ways you can diversify your business. But ultimately, you with either, you have multiple offers and you can introduce them to your people at different stages throughout, this cycle of the year or whatever it looks like.
Right. And making sure that they like line up. Like, when someone's done with your low level offer and they're looking for the next phase, like if you don't have something that leads into that next phase, they're going to find a different coach, because they're going to be like hungry for more. So I always say to be really intentional about how you're mapping that out.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, this has been an incredible episode. Tell people where they can find you. And also, I know you have a sweet freebie that everybody should go and download.
Yes, I love that we talked about sales and launching. I'm giving you guys what I call the scale to six sales planning process. So if you go to taylorslango.com/salesplan, I'm giving you a template and a how-to video of how to do it. So it'll have you basically map out your offers, project what you want to make from each offer for the entire year, and then you'll have another tab where you're actually plugging that into a calendar. What are you doing every quarter? What are you doing every month? What are the important dates? And there's all these amazing formulas in there so you can keep track of your sales and your expenses and your profit and if you're on track to meet that goal. So it's perfect with 2020 coming around. And then I'm all over Instagram. So if you guys want to hang out, come find me on Instagram at Taylor Slango. I also have a Facebook group, The Aligned and Ambitious Entrepreneur. I hang out in there. So let's be friends.
Amazing. We will make sure that the links to all of those are in the show notes too for everybody. Yay. Thank you so much, Taylor, for coming on the podcast today. We so appreciated it.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, how amazing was that episode, right? That is it for today's show. If you enjoyed this episode, do me a solid and leave us a review on iTunes. That really helps us get the word out about the podcast. And if you want to snap a picture of you listening to this episode and tag me on Instagram at gemma.bonhamcarter, tag Taylor too. I know she would love to see you there. We will share that out with our audience. We so appreciate your support of the podcast. And just a reminder that we are still accepting applications for Elevate 2020, our high-level mastermind for digital product creators. The information on how to apply is in the show notes. I will see you next week on the Passive Project Podcast.